Hello, Family First. How can I help you?
Hi, may I speak with Jessica, please?
Jessica, is it for anything? Can I? Is there any way I can help you? I'm just not sure Jessica's available right now.
Oh, okay. I just missed a call from her. Unless I have the wrong name.
Yeah, you may have the wrong name. I don't know.
All right.
Jessica.
All right. My name is Kendra Katori, and I just received a call. I guess it was Friday. I had spoke with someone named Jasmine, and someone was calling to follow up.
Is this for Liliana Daly?
Yes, yes.
Okay, amazing. So actually, I called you. I'm going to
I'm sorry, what's your name?
My name is Shira. I'm going to be the enrollment coordinator for Daly.
Shira, okay. You know what? I was just reading the, you know, how they interpret the messages. And so
yeah,
your name came
yeah.
out, Jessica. Okay.
Got it. So,
can you explain a little bit about your service? Because I actually had called the wrong place. I'm not sure why that came up on the website. I mean, I'd be happy to use your services, but
I hear you.
Another
yeah,
agency had come recommended. I'm not sure how the phone went to Family First, but that's okay. I mean, I don't really know one service from the other, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. It is. So let's just get down to the basics. I'm guessing you want to get Liliana onto the waiver program so she can have you be a caregiver for her, and then from my understanding, you would get paid from the state for being her caregiver. That much you know, right? That much you want.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so the waiver, can you explain what a waiver is?
Yeah, so a waiver is provided by, it's a state-provided, it's a state-funded program. It allows participants like Liliana to, if they become eligible, to choose a caregiver of their choice, a family member, a neighbor, a friend, and the state will provide financial coverage for them. But
so is it Medicaid or is it?
So
the
it's
state?
A waiver. It's so they work with the county. It's the state, but the state works through the county to make sure and organize who's eligible and who's not. So the waiver is basically what it is. It's what it sounds like. It's a waiver. So they can be making a certain amount of money, and they waive that, and they just say, listen, this person needs the services. It helps keep people out of nursing homes and facilities, you know. So if they have family members, it really keeps people at home and better cared for.
Which saves them money in the long run. So.
What was that?
I said, which saves them money in the long run, so it's actually smart.
Yeah. Not everybody is found eligible. There is a process that, you know, you have to go through in order to get onto the program. But my job is to literally walk participants through the process until they get onto the waiver. And then we go ahead and we would hire you and make sure you're getting paid weekly from the county and make sure everything is going through and getting processed properly.
So where does Medicaid come in?
So in order to get onto the program, you have to have Medicaid, or if you don't have Medicaid, what happens is you apply with the county and Medicaid gets automatically reinstated for the services.
Okay, so she has Medicaid, but it's not really going through Medicaid. It's just that you have to have that to qualify.
Right. I wouldn't focus so much onto the Medicaid. That's just like literally a factor, but it's not something that really, you know, you have to really focus on when getting onto the program.
Okay.
My
question is, you know, the idea that she has to pick someone. I mean, I don't know that she's mentally capable of understanding that she needs a caregiver. You know, I'd have to do a lot of prepping. Yeah. Oh, I know. I understand that. But, when they come out, is it, I understand that they would have to meet with her and see that, you know, she actually lives here and everything else. But I don't know how she would be able to answer their questions correctly.
So let me ask you this. What is it that she can do? What can't she do? Tell me where she's up to with all of that.
Okay, so she's been diagnosed with schizophrenia, and
okay.
So sometimes her reality is just so way off. Sometimes I think she doesn't even understand that I'm her mother, that I might be
okay.
an imposter.
Okay.
So I'm just saying that these are things that just might make it difficult for any kind of interview, you know, but obviously I would do my best to try to make that happen. Go ahead.
No, I want to know daily function-wise, like does she remember to feed herself, take medications by herself? Can she be left alone?
I can't leave her alone. First of all, even if I tried, she just throws a fit and starts breaking things because she also has OCD and she thinks that she's going to not be able to breathe, and if I'm not there, I can't get her to the hospital. So if I go anywhere, I have to take her, and she just usually sits in the car, but I can't. There really isn't anywhere that I can go and not bring her. So I did retire, and, you know, I try to do some work from home just to supplement my pension, but it's hard. I don't think she would agree to anybody else being here to take care of her because of her OCD.
Okay.
She's got this weird thing about germs and no one else can use the bathroom, you know.
Yeah, I hear you. It sounds like
I don't know how many details you need,
I think I got the picture. Let me be very straight up front with you, okay? I'm not I'm going to start off by saying usually as my participants, I'm not out to get you. I literally just want to help if any way I can. I did recently, I'm not going to give too much details just out of privacy, but I did have a client who had autism who was, you know, around the same age, maybe. Actually, they were born in 2004, and they had autism, and they were much more, like, they were able to hold a conversation, but they still got approved. So, and, you know, it sounds like Liliana is a little bit more advanced than that, from what I'm understanding, like, mentally. So, what I would say is that she definitely, I would say she does have a chance to get onto the program. I would say, in regards to her answering questions and things like that, they are going to come down to give assessments. And, you know, if she's able to answer, like, basic questions, you know, that would be great. But the assessors will also pick up on what she's, you know, what she's handling and everything.
Right, and an understanding of the illness.
So that has to be explained. Let me walk you through the entire process and see where your intervention would be needed, what she would have to do. You don't have to take notes. I could probably send you a whole I could text you probably everything we spoke about afterwards just so you have it. But here's how it goes. So the county provides this program, and you have over 100,000 people in PA who want this program because it allows them to literally choose anybody they know to be their caregiver, and that person gets paid. It's like almost free work, quote-unquote, but it's not because, you know, they are helping the participant. So the county said because it's such a wanted program, you have to go through a process so we can see people who need it, people who don't need it. First step would be is they have to see if she's medically eligible. This is going to look like they're going to want to see her medication list. They're going to want to see what the doctor says about her getting services. They're going to want to see her. They're going to want to, you know, have an assessment with her.
What exactly would they need from the doctor? Do they need to speak with him?
So there's two options. If she has a primary care physician, there's a note that needs to be filled out. Or what I can offer you is we work with a company that is based out of New York, Brooklyn, and they can just do it with you over the phone. They can fill out the form with you over the phone. They're going to request her medication list, and they can have the form filled out within 2-3 days. It's not a big deal.
Okay. I mean, it would be her psychiatrist. I don't find her family care provider helpful at all. You know, even when I've gone in to try to give information, it's almost like they're treating me like I'm invading her privacy, and I'm just trying to help them know that her answer is, like, if she says she can't breathe, she can breathe. She just thinks that she can. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got to read.
Yes, they're providing all kinds of inhalers and oxygen. I'm like, oh my god, you're not listening. So
no.
I don't think the one that was, you know, I tried to use someone local that was, you know, that accepted the Medicaid, but I'm not happy with them. So I would prefer to go to her actual psychiatrist if that works.
So you can do that, or I can either have one of the doctors reach out to you from my end, and you could tell them all of this. I mean, they'll
have
everything
okay.
down on file. But you could do whatever you're comfortable with. I don't know. I think they need an MD specifically. I don't know if they can meet, they want a psychiatrist to fill that form out. That's why I'm only concerned. But we could touch on that in a minute. Let me just go through a little bit more of what she'll need to do. So she's going to have to have an assessment with the independent enrollment broker, which is an intermediary between us and the county who we're going to be working with. She's going to have to go through three assessments. I say three because the doctor is going to call you to try and do the assessment with you over the phone. So, but that's just a side thing. So really it's two assessments. That's the independent enrollment broker and area and aging. Their main goal is that they want
okay, what is that called? An independent
enrollment broker. But I'm going to send you all this. You don't have to worry
about
it. Oh,
okay. Okay.
I just want you to understand, and if you have any questions, you ask.
Okay. All right,
so,
go ahead.
That's basically what needs to happen. Now, what are they looking for? They need to see that she can't function by herself. She can't live by herself in whatever capacity. Okay? So I always tell, like, my clients, like, you want to go into these assessments like it's your worst day. Now, it sounds like, Kendra, you're with her 24/7, from my understanding.
Right.
It sounds like you're really with her. So by these assessments, for example, I would say something, you know, I would tell them that, you know, you're not always can you be with her, because if they see that you are with her constantly, they'll see that she doesn't need someone. Understand? I mean, to say they see that you're available. The idea is that people getting the services don't really have anybody, but they're willing to get somebody. You know, also you don't need to tell them right away that you're going to be her caregiver. The main picture you want to paint for them is that you need someone to be looking after Liliana. You're not always home, and she can't function by herself. She can't do daily functions by herself.
Right, and what if there might be a time where I'm not available, God forbid, like I go in the hospital or,
right.
You know, I do some work that's close by, but usually I don't tell her, so.
yeah. So, exactly. So, like, I'm just telling you how to read between the lines also when it comes to
I got you.
You want to be smart about it. So that's just the thing. They want to see. So those were the two assessments. They're really not a big deal. I'm giving a lot of information, totally not necessary, but I just want you to understand a little more.
Mm-hmm.
Once those assessments are completed, the broker is going to see if she's medically eligible. Once they approve her, the county is going to want financial information. So I can go down the list with you of things that they may need. Because she's young, I don't think she's really worked, right?
No, all this happened right when she was in college, so.
Oh, wow. That's hard. How does she feel about being assessed and all the assessments? And, like, is that something she's going to fight? Does she want the services as well? Like.
It depends. I would have to, it depends on how I word it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd have to tell her ahead of time, look, there are times that I, you know, might not be able to be here. We can't live like this. We can't, I can't always be here. So, you know, someone might come to talk to us about.
You could also tell her somebody that she likes, somebody that she chooses. It's not, no one's
right.
forcing her, but it's just easier on you. Whatever you say
to,
you know.
My guess is she would just be like, fine, all right, yes, now, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you a designated rep for her, by the way?
What exactly is that?
So it's somebody, it's like a power of attorney, somebody who can talk for her. If she's not so stable and, you know, if she's ever in a situation, you want to be able to, and she's not in sound mind, you want to be able to have the say of what's going to be with her.
I did hire an attorney who's supposed to be putting together a power of attorney.
Okay.
But at the moment, no, I don't.
Okay. So that's going to be also important just as she gets older and as you get older.
Oh, absolutely. I understand. Yeah.
Especially if she's more lucid now, you just maybe want to think about that for her safety.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see here. She's not married, right?
No.
I'm just going down the list of things I have to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She doesn't own a home or anything like that.
No.
Does she have life insurance?
No.
Okay. Again, I apologize. I just have to ask. Does she
no, that's
own
fine.
Any calls?
Any what?
Does she own any cars or vehicles
no,
in her name?
No, she owns nothing.
All right. Does she have a bank account in her name?
It's set up so that the SSI that she receives is in it's in both our names, so that I have control of it, because they didn't want her to have access to any money.
So it's you're her PE, PA, what's it called?
PR?
One second. Just bear with me 1 second. Okay, so right, it's under your name. Okay, so what is it, like a Direct Express account, or is it under a bank?
No, it's a direct deposit to a bank account.
Direct deposit to which bank are you working with?
What's it called? First, what's it called? First National of Newtown?
So my question for you, is it her account with you on it? Whose main account is it? It's not your account. Like, your paycheck doesn't go in there.
No, it's just, it was just set up to receive her the SSI.
Okay. So let me tell you what's going to be needed. Do you know how, since when has this been set up for her?
It's been several years. I'd have to look back and see when the date was. It's right when she started getting Social Security.
Okay. So they're going to need, the county is going to need an award letter from that Social Security and some bank statements. So that's for the financial information.
Okay.
And that's it. It seems that they're going to need. Okay?
Yeah. And that's the only money that goes through there. It's just the SSI.
Okay. So now let me just ask you some other questions. Does she make more or less than $2,985 a month?
Less.
Okay. Does she have more than $8,000?
Well, she makes zero except for the SSI. So.
Right. Does she have over $8,000 in her savings account?
No.
Okay. Okay. So really, it looks like she can be approved. What happens is, after they get the financial information, they're going to want to see that she is the insurance. They're going to approve her, and if she's approved, the insurance they're going to ask you about by the first assessment with the broker is going to ask her, they're going to want to know, they're going to come down to give her a third assessment, and that's going to determine her hours. Once her hours are approved, then we're going to tell
I'm
them
sorry,
that
what's that called? A what assessment?
Well, it's an assessment by the insurance.
Oh, okay.
All right, this assessment determines how many hours she's going to be approved. If she gets onto the waiver, they're going to approve her hours. And then once those hours are approved, we can start hiring you, and you can start clocking in and clocking out and getting paid. That's basically what the process is.
Okay. Now, if I'm approved as a caregiver, is there ever the option to have it be someone else, or it has to be me?
No, she can choose whoever it is, the agency.
No, I mean from your service. Like, let's suppose I wound up in the hospital or something. Would someone from Family First?
Yeah. So of course, like, normally we would need notice, right? Because caregivers want to need to know how many hours, where it's located, if they can travel there. But yes, if we're given, let's say, a week to a week and a half, or within the week, if we're given like a 2-day notice, we could probably find a replacement. Even if you want to take a break for a day, we could probably get a replacement for a day. You know, we really work with you in that. Like, it's not a problem. You know. But I would say that you being the caregiver, you really don't need to tell anybody that you're going to be the caregiver until the end of the process. Like, nobody needs to know until, like, the last part when we tell the insurance.
I got you. Yeah, I get it.
The idea is for
and
the
And it honestly isn't.
Liviana,
it isn't me looking for money. Just what I want, if something happened to me, I want to make sure there is something that she qualifies for where someone could, you know, check in on her, take care of her, make sure she's not, you know, burning the house down.
Yeah, and you know what? If you have a friend, I'm not sure what the dynamic is, but if she knows somebody that she's comfortable with and happy with, then they can just get paid for just being with her. It really, like, it's very, you know, a lot of people benefit from this greatly.
Okay.
So yeah. Function-wise, tell me a little bit more. Just remember to take a shower, eat, medication.
As far as showering, I'm not sure. I think she only takes a bath, and she doesn't, I mean, she took the shower curtain off the shower because she doesn't like the water on her head. But I would say she is clean because she also has OCD, but it's, like, debilitating. You know, like, she walks around with wipes, and she screams if somebody touches something of hers. So it comes, the cleanliness comes at a cost. You know?
Yeah.
And what was the second thing you said after bathing?
Well, remembering to take medication, remembering to eat. Okay, you have to be on top of that.
First of all, she often refuses.
Okay. Now, has this progressed in college, or was she like this before college?
She had ADHD and OCD, and I think her original diagnosis was bipolar, but I would say all of this started happening at you know, around the age of 18. 2020, it was, she was diagnosed with OCD when she was about 10. So, I mean, a lot of these symptoms and things were evident, but not, you know, not to this full-blown spectrum of,
right. Does she get out of the house? Is she a functional, you know, young adult? Like, what, does she go out, have fun with friends?
No. Talks to no one, won't even text anyone. She's completely isolated. I take her shopping sometimes, but again, because of her phobia of germs, it's very difficult to shop with her because she has to put things in certain bags, and she doesn't like when people touch the things, putting them in the bags. She would never be able to do that on her own because she would flip out and cause a scene, and she doesn't have any access to money because she has no understanding of it. Like, if I take her to a store, she fills shopping carts up with things, like blankets and candles, you know, all kinds of, you know, spending 10 times what we went into plan.
Right.
So she has, right now she couldn't even budget her money. She would just spend it on, like, wipes, Clorox wipes.
Yeah.
And bleach.
How was this in college? Was she functional a little bit in college, or this is not good in college?
It's very hard to say because it was like 2020 when everything sort of came to a head.
Oh, wow. That's really not been great for her.
No, it was terrible because it was so hard to get any doctor to see her. Nobody was seeing anybody because, well, first of all, they were so backed up because everybody was, you know, having so many issues. Then I would have to get her, I would have to drive down to her college and do a virtual. There were things. She started hearing voices in college, yeah. So.
Okay. The reason
she started with
asking,
a lot of, like, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. The reason why I'm asking is just to gain an idea of where she would be holding with all of this. Being to say, I don't want to start a big process for you, and then, like, I could have avoided you going through so much, you know. I'm just trying to really gauge to see if this is something mm-hmm. that she could be qualified for. Is she seeing some sort of a therapist, doctors? What's her?
She refuses to do any type of therapy. The psychiatrist is the only person that she will see, and right now she will only see him virtually.
Okay, and conversations with her, are you able to talk about concepts, you know, things that besides for her immediate problems, is she able to tell you about her goals? Does she talk a little bit about?
No, there's no conversation. Absolutely none.
What would she be doing today on a random day for 5 till at night? What does her schedule look like?
Her schedule?
Yeah. What does she do on a daily?
She will come down, she'll make something to eat, clean, And then I'm not sure what she does upstairs. She's kind of, sometimes she's talking to, I don't know, I guess the voices. She's responding to external stimuli, you know, that's not really there. She gets very angry. Like her dad came over to visit one day, and she just didn't even talk to him. She wouldn't even look at him. So she pretty much keeps to herself unless I take her out somewhere. You know, and then she sits in the car. She'll sit for hours. Sometimes she won't even come in unless she needs to use the bathroom, and then she's very hesitant because of her OCD. So.
How's her eating habits? Does she eat a lot? Does she eat a little bit?
She doesn't eat much, but she goes on kicks. Like she might eat. Everything has to be prepackaged. It can't be anything that anybody or like you know made at a restaurant or really. I mean, rarely will she eat anything made in a restaurant. Like it has to be like frozen vegetables or she likes ramen noodles or. She's right now she's obsessed with certain drinks that she has to have in the house.
Is she on social media or anything like that?
I don't think so anymore. I mean, she was, but she was posting such bizarre things. It's really a shame. Like a lot of her friends reached out, but she doesn't respond.
Okay. Because I would say if she's on social media, that can make things a little bit worse for whatever she's going through.
Oh yeah, oh I agree. But I don't think so. I mean, I could check her account, but I don't think it's been active in a while.
Okay.
And she had like 3,000 followers because she had a very successful modeling career. I mean, you know, it was part time and she was doing it, ever since she was 4. So she had. Lots of friends and lots of followers, and then, you know, slowly but surely her posts got strange, and that's when I was getting really worried for her safety, because I thought if any of these people, you know, recognize how ill she is, they could easily take advantage of her.
Right. You don't
And
want her doing
I
that.
thought she would be victimized. So I'm hoping she's not still on it. I don't think so because her friends that she had were always very good with letting me know. And her
Okay.
cousins too. Her cousins at her age would let me know. So that's been very quiet. So I'm not positive.
Okay. All righty. Fine, I understand.
And there's a chance that she blocked me too. So I might not even know.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, on a normal day, things. I mean, the best case scenario is she answers a question or two of mine, but there's no conversation. It's like, can you order me, you know, seltzer water? Did my slippers come in the mail? You know, like those type of things that she's obsessing over. But there's, you know, we've had some deaths in the family, and there's just been no. Not even empathy for anybody, and these are people that she was close with, and she's just in a different world. Like sometimes she would giggle about it, so I don't know what people in her head are saying, but
Right.
there's no communication.
Does she know that she's sick? Does she know that she's not well?
She doesn't believe it, and that's the problem, and that's the battle I've been fighting for the last 4 years, 5 years. In the beginning, she understood, and then she was in denial. So then we have problems with her taking medication because of it. There were side effects, and I've read all kinds of books, and it's like it's almost impossible to get someone to take medication for an illness they don't believe they have. So
Okay.
the most I can get with her is that she understands about the OCD because she had it when she was younger. So. That's where I've been trying to get her to take it. She has a new medication that was prescribed, and she hasn't taken it. So I've been gently trying to coax her without alienating myself from her, you know. So.
Right. Okay. I'm right here. Okay. Well, I could say that we can definitely, I'm kind of going to put this all into the notes. We could definitely try and help her out. I would definitely want to try and help her out. This could just, you know, help her get her into something. Just you got to let me know if you would like to continue, and then I would just start us on the next part of the process.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's what I'm going to do. It was a lot. We spoke about a lot today. Do you have any questions about any of it?
No, I guess what do you think I could do right now to prepare a doctor for what they would need to do?
So I wouldn't talk to any of the doctors just yet. I would go ahead and schedule to have one of the doctors that we work with call you.
Okay.
And try and fill out the form. And then I can submit it to the independent enrollment broker. They're going to need it. And then the next thing I would do is give you the number to call into the independent enrollment broker and have them, you have to call in with, you would need to call in with Liliana and schedule it with her. I mean, is she around now? Is she near you right now? I could call in with you guys.
I would need to do a lot of preparing for any type of conversation, anything like that. Anything that's a surprise that she doesn't know coming, it would completely set her off. Like,
okay.
I would need to sit down with her and say, like I did when the disability attorney came to the house. I had to really prep her for that. I don't know that. I guess I would need to know what the independent enrollment broker
would say to her
so that I could prepare her for why they're saying this.
Yeah, so I don't know the exact assessment, what they asked by the assessment, but I would say that she needs to call into the broker. She needs to be the one to request it, and then maybe put you down as a designated rep so you can start talking in her stead when it comes to the broker. She has to tell them that she wants to schedule an assessment. They're going to ask her questions about where she lives, who her doctor is. She could say things like, my doctor, I have to get that information. I don't know yet, but my mom could help. Like, she could, you know, she could say that. What she can do is she can have you speak for her in the call.
Okay, so if they asked her, do you give your mom permission to answer questions?
Yeah.
That would make it so much easier.
Yeah, so but she has, you have to ask that for her. Be like, hey, can I talk for my daughter?
Right.
And then they would ask Liliana. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we've done that before.
And
she's much more agreeable to that because she doesn't, answering questions like that, putting her on the spot would just completely set her up and she would think it was that somebody's going to come take her away.
No. Tell her what you're trying to do first to make sure that she never goes away. Tell her it's to help her stay home with you, and because you're going to get a little bit financial help for, you know, her being around and stuff.
Okay.
I don't know if that will help, but
that's good, because one time when I had the crisis workers come, and I prepared her because I was really worried about it. She didn't want to talk to them because she thought that they were going to take her away, and they were clear with, oh, no, we're here just to make sure that, you know, that you're safe, that you know, you want to be here, whatever. So that went fine, but I need, again, it's the prep.
Yeah. And I just want to say, I'm sure you've probably done so much with her and tried to get her a lot of help, but there is a lot of hope with people with her prognosis. Like, I want you to know that.
I know, and I've read so many, the books I've read lately about people that take the new medications, it's like their lives can turn around.
Yeah, she can, you know, with the medication, and if she's consistent with it, she can get married one day, have kids, she can run a normal home, she could do things. I want you to know that for her, you know.
Yeah, well, thank you. That's nice to hear the encouragement. I mean, I have it in the back of my mind, and some days it's hard to imagine. But my cousin has autism, and my uncle keeps saying, you know, it's so permanent with him, so I need to stop thinking about this as a. I mean, it is a permanent disability. She'll always have to to address it somehow, but
there's
hope. Yeah.
Yeah. No, if she gets a clear mind, she could really do great things, and it's, you know, it doesn't have to shackle her. It really is. Let me send you a text message of a little bit of everything we spoke about today, and then I'm going to send you the number to call in with her. Is it possible that it could be done by tomorrow, or you're going to need like 2 days?
To call into the independent broker?
Yeah, because once you do that, they open up the case, and the case can get started.
Yeah, I have a friend coming over today, and I'm wondering if that would be a good way, because she's not going to want to cause a scene in front of her.
Right.
You know, she generally does most of the bizarre, I say bizarre behavior when it's just us.
Yeah.
So I don't think we'd get screaming and everything else. I can aim for that.
Was she ever hurt as a kid in any way?
No. She had a perfect life. I can't say that something traumatic happened in college that I don't know about.
Right.
I know that when it started happening right after my mom passed away, and she and my mom were really close.
Yeah.
So I've been reading a lot about how trauma can cause someone to snap, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. Do you have any history in the family of schizophrenic or any kind of behavior like that?
No, not on either side. I mean, I knew some anxiety, on her dad's side, there was some alcoholism, but nothing, not even hearing about some crazy old grandma or something like I've looked.
Yeah.
Not that anyone is aware of. No.
Okay. All right. I definitely hear. Okay. All this is going into the notes just so we can, help her more. Like I said,
and I'm sorry, your name was Shira?
Yeah. I'm going to send you my name, my contact information.
Okay.
It's actually, I'm going to text you. Can this number receive text messages?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to text you. If you ever need to reach me, you could shoot me a text. Either in a, sometimes better, because it could be in a meeting or something. So if you need something, I could just see it right away. Yes, I'm going to send you all the information about what to do next, and you can let me know how things are going. I could take it your speed. So whenever you're ready to, wherever you want to go with her, you just let me know, and I'll try and help you as much as I can.
Okay, I really appreciate that.
All right, my pleasure.
I would call into the broker, and would I be able to just introduce myself and do? Okay, so it's not like I could talk to him first.
No, you can't. What you could say is like, "Hi, I'm Kendra Pittmore. My daughter Liliana Dowd would like to apply for the waiver services. She wants to schedule her first assessment. She's on the line with us right now, but I'd like to speak for her." And they're going to say that they need to get some information from her first, that they're going to protect her privacy. They're going to ask her maybe a couple questions, and then you can take it from there, I believe.
All
or
right.
If you want,
they don't
to
say
call
something
in with
like,
you.
I mean, I'm assuming that they are like gentle with their questions. Like they wouldn't say, "Are you aware that you are ill, or what is your problem?"
No, they wouldn't.
Okay, they would have enough information to understand that we're dealing with a mental, not a physical disability?
Yes. Well, they're a little bit less likely to read through the lines, but it's really very straightforward. You're just going to call in with her and say you'd like to speak on her behalf. They're not going to ask her a hard question, really.
Okay.
Okay? All right. Sorry. Let me shoot you this text message and let me know, text me if you have any questions, okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you
so
much.
All righty. Take care now. Have a great day.
Okay. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.